Let's get to our passage here this morning, and it's in Mark chapter 14 that I'd like to look at this morning. As we consider the theme that we're developing, or Dr. A is developing, and you guys are building upon this year, serving God acceptably, I started praying about that, and one of the things that came across my mind was this particular passage, and we'll get to that in just a moment. As you already previously heard, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 was our meditation verse. And it's humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that you might be exalted in due time. What is the connection with this particular passage? Well, it deals with humility. And if you're going to be a servant of God who serves Him acceptably, then we have to model humility. Not only live it for ourselves, but certainly for others to see. And by the way, Jesus did this to an extreme example, and we could get into the deeper subjects, but I'll not do that. I'll leave that for your professors to do that. But one of the incidences that happened in Scripture that we could easily look to would be the incident found in John 13 where Jesus is washing the feet of his disciples. He's modeling, if you will, humility and service to his disciples. So in order to serve God acceptably, disciples of Christ need to do the same thing. So look with me, if you will, in Mark chapter 14, beginning in verse 3. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor, and they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor, and always, and whenever, whensoever ye will, may do them good, but ye may have not always. She hath done what she could. She is come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, whoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that hath done should be spoken for a memorial of her. As you consider that passage, the very last verse there, 9, is a testimony of our meditation verse. Remember the key idea is humble yourselves. Well, this person did that. Remember the last part of that verse is in due time, God will exalt. We're here some 2,000 years later plus, and we're already speaking about her again. And as a memorial, she's been exalted in due time. Your service, you might not think, will go very well noticed. I am confident that whenever she did this, she probably had not in her heart any idea to be exalted, any idea to be lifted up. Her heart was humbled before her Lord. That was the intent of her heart. There's no doubt in my mind. But God being God, He delivered a great blessing upon her, exalting her, lifting her up for her service. You see, God is the one who is able to design and reveal the intent of the heart. So getting back to the idea, in order for us to be acceptable disciples of Christ, you know what we're going to need to do? We're going to need to break a few boxes. There's an old saying that in order to make an omelet, you have to break a few eggs. Well, in order to be a servant acceptable to God, we're going to have to break some alabaster boxes in our lives. In context to this particular passage, that is what I've titled the message about here this morning. Breaking the box which defines us. There are so many things that define who you and I are. And those things sometimes, those very things, can be those things that prohibit us from being the servants, the great servants, all that Jesus Christ wants us to be for Him. In order to do that, we have to break some boxes. Now, many scholars will agree with this statement. The woman is being spoken of here is Mary. Which Mary? Well, that's in some of a debate. It could be Mary of Magdala. It could be Mary, the sister of Lazarus. I'm not going to get into that. You guys figure that out and come and tell me another time, all right? But for this conversation, for this message, indulge me. We're going to call her Mary, all right? And so Mary broke the alabaster box because she would not use it for anything else other than glorifying God. That is a tremendous perspective on life. She could have taken the lid off and accomplished the same task, but she chose not to. Rather, she made a conscious decision to break the box, to me, symbolizing that she wanted to completely commit and give it all to God, not looking back, not turning back. Some of us enter into ministry, and I know I've been there. Some of us enter into ministry and we want to be able to have some sort of attachment to the past. In some way, we consider that a security blanket, if you will. But the fact of the matter is, there's no greater security blanket than giving it all to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Trust Him completely in all that you do. You're saying, well, preacher, I'm here committing my life to serve in this school and be trained and be able to go forth and carry out the Great Commission. You'd be surprised how easily it is to get distracted in service. And if it hasn't happened to you yet, just give it time. It will. In this illustration, I think it is clear that she made a complete sacrifice whenever she broke the box. Think about it. Throughout the scriptures, we know that there are others who made similar sacrifices, and they may not have broken a box literally, but they did figuratively. How about Moses when he smote the rock with his rod and he broke the rock and water poured out? How about Gideon and his 300 men who broke the pitchers and let out the light? How about Jesus' own body on the cross that he might save the world? So it's reasonable for you and I to conclude, as we consider all these things, that the highest Christian experience that one can achieve, the highest Christian experience that we can receive, the highest goal that we can strive for, requires us to break a box. It requires us to do so. And you'll find that your opposition, your enemy, Satan, is as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He doesn't want you to do that. He'd rather you didn't. There are many boxes in our lives that we must break if we're going to follow Jesus Christ. And there is some, for some, it's the boxes of faithfulness, financial issues, the social boxes, relationships. I could go on and maybe never touch on yours. But if you would just pause and meditate in prayer to the Lord, I am confident He'll put His finger on yours. There are boxes that need to be broken. And then when you identify those, you recognize that that's the affections of your heart. And those need to be dealt with if there were anything else other than the Lord. Now let me give you some things very quickly that I think will be a help to you as we consider breaking that box. Number one, you know, it is a sweet smell, a sweet fragrance, a sweet odor, if you will, to give it all to the Lord. It really is. Notice there's in this particular passage, when Mary broke the alabaster box and poured it on Jesus, the scriptures tell us that the whole house was filled with a sweet smell, a sweet odor. Scriptures are full of indications of the Old Testament of incense, particularly in the temple. And as it just filled the aroma of the temple in the Old Testament, and it was also considered to be a sweet fragrance unto the Lord. When we serve God, when we break our boxes, those things that we have set aside that we may consider untouchable things in our life, we're going to serve God with the exception of XYZ, fill in the blank. When we do that, when we finally come to the place where we're willing to break those, we find ourselves acceptable before God, holy before God, willing and ready then to be used. The fragrant oil which she poured out upon Jesus, I might submit to you this morning, is a type of Holy Spirit. And if so, then the Holy Spirit brings that sweet smell all the way up to heaven. And there is something special. May I even go so far as to say, sanctified by that. Think, when you do that, You're in the realm of perfect love. You're in the realm of perfect peace. You're in the realm, we're not there yet, of serving Him, may I say, acceptably. Perfect joy poured out into a purified heart, if you will, willing to serve God. The fragrance is such a sweet smell that fills the house that the Lord can certainly see it. You know, incense is consistent with a select group of ingredients. And when incense was crushed and beaten into a fine powder, and then finally it's burned, that sweet fragrance, as I said moments ago, raises and fills the whole house. The concept is the same whenever we break those alabaster boxes of our life. It is just that, a sweet fragrance that is lifted up to our Lord and Savior. Second of all, this morning, I'd like to share with you that Mary sat at His feet. If we could just for a moment put ourselves in Mary's position, and she is actually in the presence of our Lord and Savior, the very purpose that we have given our lives to Him for service, and she is now at His feet. Now, she's not the only one in Scriptures that we have found that is there. But when I see that in my mind's eye, I see a picture of contentment, a picture of rest, a picture of quietness, a picture of humility. Can I say it's kind of like the attitude of a child on a mother's knee, happy, blissful, rejoicing. There's a great peace that can kind of come from that, a great grace, if you will. And I mentioned it moments ago, what's called sanctification. And one of the works of sanctification, there are many, but one of the works of sanctification is, if we are certainly growing progressively in it, it takes our worry away, and it just helps us with our unrest, and it kind of eases the heart. And within that rest and peace, it's hard to even describe sometimes. And it's always because it starts with the breaking of a box. There is a sense, quite frankly, and I can only share this with you from a personal testimony, there is a sense of somewhat being inwardly healed whenever you give your life over to Christ and you allow that box to be broken. For me, it was when I answered the call to preach. I was a successful business person in the community at that time in my life. I didn't answer the call till later in life. I preached my first message when I was 16 years old. But remember, I told you, you'd be surprised how easily you get distracted. And I started chasing the things of this world. And as I did, I lost sight of serving and following God's will in my own life. But do you know He has the ability to always reorient us and bring us back to His will and His desire? And finally, for me, as He did that in my life, I found myself having to break the box of my wants and desires. That's a personal testimony to you. Now, that may not apply or stir your heart, because the truth is, our boxes can be somewhat different. But the commonality there is regardless of what your box is, it still needs to be broken. It still needs to be broken. Lastly, Mary heard the words of Jesus. What words of comfort she must have heard. Words of love, words of sweetness, words of tenderness. She was at His feet and heard His powerful words. She yearned to give Him the highest expression that she could give. And this, in this case, that was this alabaster box that she had. And her act beautifully pictures those believers who reach that highest state of faithfulness and desire to serve, following Jesus unconditionally, giving it all to Him. Seems so simple, doesn't it? And yet, most of us fight and resist against it every day. Every day. That spikenard that we see here, pictured, that was poured out, was Mary's way, if you will, of letting her Lord know that She understood. She recognized. And she was willing to give it all to him. Whatever the Lord puts in your hands. And for this Mary, we don't know which one it was definitively. But for this Mary, the point is she gave it all. Use what you have. Some have the ability and the great talent of being a great speaker. And I stand before you not as one who would say that. In the lower grades of school, I was one of those students that when you gave me a book at the beginning of the year, and back in the day, that's when we had books, I dated myself. And some are laughing because they understand that. And so you were issued books, and I was one of those students that whenever you was issued a book, you could take the book and open it up, and you could actually hear the bindings crack as you open the book because it's brand new. At the end of the year, when I turned my book in, it still cracked. And I had to wipe the dust off of it first before I returned it. I was not one who did that and took it very seriously. But in the end, God certainly had his will and way with me because I was willing to break that box and allowed him to use me in whatever way he chose to. You may be seated here this morning in this auditorium wondering, how can I be used for God? I want you to do a quick inventory of your own life. And I want you to consider what you think are some of your greatest attributes. And possibly, quite possibly, that may not be necessarily what God wants to use. There may be an underlying attribute as God sees. See, God sees the intent and the desire of the heart. He sees beyond the outside. And one of the things that he's able to do sometimes is if we'll spend time communing with him, meditating with him, giving ourselves to him, then he will reveal to us what it is. And whatever it is, break that box and be used to the Lord. Break that box and be used to the Lord. And pour it out in service on him. You may be a talented speaker, and that may be what God's calling you to do. You may be a talented musician, and God's asking you to do that. And that may be what he's asking you to do. Whatever it is, and I could go on and on, the point is, break it for him and use it for him. The Bible says that whenever Mary broke the box, that the aroma filled the room. I want you to think about this, and I didn't get into this too much, but do you know that the spikenard, this incense and combination of spices that was used here, was worth a lot of money? Through my little research, I have come across varying opinions, but one thing seems to be clear. It was worth close to a year's wages. A year's wages. A year's worth of effort that she had accumulated through her lifetime. And you know what she did with it? Nevertheless, she broke the box and poured it out on Jesus. Poured it out on him. Now, I've said much about the box. And so what I'm about to say may sound like a little contradiction. But this message is not about the box. It isn't. If that's all you got, if that's all you've received, then you missed the main point of the message. It's not about the box at all. Rather, it's about her willingness to be broken for her Lord. That's the real connection of this passage. Are you willing? That's the question this morning. Are you willing? Are you really willing to break that box? I pray this morning that you are willing to let your Lord and Savior use you in service. See, Mary knew she was unworthy. Mary knew that she was a sinner in need of a Savior. There's no doubt about it. But as I mentioned to you at the beginning, sometimes you got to break a few eggs before you can make an omelet. And in service for the King, serving Him acceptably, before you can ever start that journey, the key is you got to break some of those boxes in your lives and be willing to do it.